bring on the coach, Ron Crawford. Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Trey Schaap and Matt Jones. I'm assuming you guys ventured out to Hurricane Golf Course yesterday and played early?
No, we did not. We did not get to play.
Oh, man. It was a beautiful day. I can't play golf. I told them I should have had Trey Schaap. I thought I was going to be the last of the picks, but Keith Jackson made it, so I was next to last.
Hey, Coach, before we get started real quick, we had some live fan feedback, and they were asking about the Thunder and the Rockets, and they were talking about, are people blowing this out of proportion about when Patrick Beverley tried to steal the ball from Westbrook and everything that's going on. Do you think that was a dirty play, or do you just think that was a fluke deal in playing basketball?
No, I just think it's playing basketball. And if you, you know, what happens, you don't weigh the play by the result. And if you look at the hard fouls that are taken as you go to the rack, if I undercut your legs purposely, the players know.
Right.
If Westbrook didn't say, hey, that was a dirty play, if his teammates thought it was a dirty play, they would have taken all the penalties they had to get and gotten, they'd have rushed the floor.
That's what I was going to say. The benches would have cleared. You know, if somebody leaves their feet, like you just said, and you undercut somebody intentionally, yes.
Yeah.
But when you're going for a steal and knees hit, that happens just about every game.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt. When you're in the NFL, if somebody took a cheap shot, you got back in the huddle, was that ever mentioned?
You know, right then, they don't. That you just move on and play the next play.
Okay, so they're not going to say, okay, Joe got me, let's get him.
If it's something, you know, after the whistle or something goes on and they push you from behind, then it's one of those deals where right away your teammates have your back and they would do that. But I don't think it was a dirty play.
No, I didn't think, but I'm just talking about in pro sports, my experience. I've never played pro sports, but I've been around a lot of professional athletes in the last 35 years. They know when someone's taking a cheap shot.
Right.
And then you have to play next year with those guys 84 games. You better not do something stupid.
Well, and you see it in baseball where they hit the next, that batter that's coming up, the next batter's going to get hit, or when it's your turn coming back up, you're going to get hit by the pitch.
And they don't have a choice. If the guy gets thrown out of the game. Now, the one on the Cardinals the other night, I'm not sure what was going on with the umpire, but that was a quick, even though I'm a big Cardinal fan, I thought it was a quick call, but he must have felt very positively that it was an intentional hit. Took him, kicked him out. Of course, the manager got kicked out, and then I think he got 3 or 4 game suspension for it.
Yeah.
So, but they'll take that suspension because that you can't let the pitchers hit your guy. And you can't let the basket – nobody can just beat up somebody else.
Right.
It's not that way. In the old days in the NBA, you had an enforcer. There was somebody on that roster that was the enforcer.
Charles Oakley.
Not necessarily. Yeah, there was an enforcer, trust me. Ask the guys that how Tommy Gunn Heinsohn was for the Celtics back in the days. So, I think – If you're playing the game and the result is an injury, there's a lot of people going to jump to the conclusion it was intentional. And I'm sure that everybody wished it hadn't. Patrick Beverley, particularly just getting back in the league, is probably as sad as anybody because he's so excited about finally achieving his dream.
Right.
That I can't imagine he would do anything.
Well, and he doesn't have that history of being a dirty player, and sometimes it goes along with that where
–
when you've been playing, they know who the dirty players are. You're right.
They know the play. And that's why I said, when you didn't see the eruption of the bench or the eruption and the backlash of the opponents, then I just don't believe it was a dirty play.
Coach, let's talk about Bobby Portis. Couple of all-star games, the McDonald's All-American game, and then the Jordan Brand Classic, and then a week ago this past Saturday out in Portland for the Nike Hoop Summit.
Yeah, and Bobby had a tremendous first half in the McDonald's game, and then it got to be more of a rat game, which he's not very good at. I thought the Jordan Brand Classic, again, started from the get-go to be a little bit of a, you know, two stars against two-star duel. And then I was extremely disappointed in the American team that they didn't recognize that Bobby's not as flashy as the other guys. But if you've got five, what I'm going to call elite superstars on there, we put Bobby on that team. I was on the selection committee, and he was selected. And Dave Tellup, the writer, evaluator, who I think is one of the best in the country, or ESPN, is a huge Bobby Portis fan because of his teamwork. And they only played him 9 minutes, and I thought that was a huge mistake because Bobby's perfectly happy to defend and pass the ball.
And, Coach, talk a little bit about those All-Star games. Why do you think it is just a guard-controlled game where they're really not into the team concept in those games?
Well, they're not expected to in McDonald's. Now, the Hoop Classic, first at McDonald's and Jordan, they know they're going to get X many minutes. The kids all expect showtime, dunk-a-thon, 120 to 125. But the Hoop Summit is a real game. It's against the rest of the world. What percentage do you guys think will be non-American-born players in the first round this year of the NBA draft?
Percentage?
Probably three players taken. 3 to 5 is what I would say.
What do you think, Shep?
I'm going to say it's probably a little higher than that. Maybe 7.
I'm predicting 8, which is roughly 25%, 27% of all the players that are going to get guaranteed money this year are going to be foreign-born.
And now, Coach, are they guys that have played pro ball over there? Or
some of them are college guys.
But they're playing in America college right now.
You've got some guys that come here and haven't played, quote, pro ball. Now, if they're overseas, their idea of a club is different than the Wings. Their club deal is just like Enos Kanter. They said he was playing club ball, but they ruled, NCAA ruled, that his benefits were excessive. And that's an understatement. But if they play club ball in Europe and they're really good, and I'll give you a better example of that in Brazil, when Leandrino Barbosa was 15 and Nene was 15, they were playing in the league. And I watched them in Rio de Janeiro. They were making $5,000 a month. And what they do down there, if they identify a kid at 14 or 15 and they play in the league, they pay them so they can't come to college up here, so they can keep them until they get good enough to play in the NBA. But Leandrino and Nene were so good, it didn't take a rocket scientist. I was ready to go get and it's Leandro up here, but in Portuguese, Leandrino means Leandro Jr.
Coach Hunter Mickelson.
Yes.
Leaving Arkansas, going to Kansas. Your thoughts on his transfer?
Well, I'm excited. I think Bill Self showed a lot of fortitude and a lot of consistency. He only recruited Hunter 3 times. Once before he signed with Arkansas, the second time when the coaching change was made, and this time of the 62 schools that call me, Kansas never called me. Not one word. And I've been friends with Bill Self since he – you know, I coached against Bill when he was playing for Johnny the Chicken Man Williams out of Oklahoma. But he was playing with some really good players back then. And then Coach was at he was an assistant to Eddie. He was a head coach at Oral Roberts, the head coach at Tulsa, then to Illinois, and then back to Kansas. And he's really a nice guy. But I never got a call, and Doc Satter's on the staff up there. They never called. I'm assuming the contacts were made directly with the family after the releases were issued. And Hunter himself only let 7 schools get his material. You know, the player can – everybody can request your stuff, but unless the player allows it to be sent, they get a letter back that says player refused to send the stuff because I got some calls that Hunter didn't give me the stuff, and they won't know if it's Arkansas. Arkansas only put one stipulation, no SEC schools. And in talking to Hunter's family, they were 100% for all that. They did not want to play against the University of Arkansas.
And, Trey, we had the question very early, the player, what's his name, Seegers?
Yeah, Jerome Seegers.
Jerome Seegers will make the decision tomorrow. He visited the University of Arkansas this weekend on a campus visit. His teammate that's transferring out of there, Eli Carter chose the Gators today. So maybe it can be 2-for-2 SEC from Rutgers.
Well, it's my understanding it's between Arkansas and Auburn.
That is correct. So it's going to definitely be 2 SEC. Rutgers guys are going to go. Those two guys that are transferring are going to go. The question is, will they, due to the Mike Rice allegations, be made
immediately eligible?
Immediately.
Right.
And I think there's a sentiment that they will be because of the gravity and the public attention that the Mike Rice bear got.
If they're not made immediately eligible, I think that's another black eye for the NCAA.
And right now, the Emmert is taking tremendous heat, guys.
Yes.
You can't imagine. I was at the Final Four and met with some people there, and the level of heat that he's getting, well, they're just, let's just say that he probably shouldn't plant too many trees in his new house.
Yeah. Wow. Coach, you're one of the Wings team. I got an email today, the Wings Elite 16 and under. Malik Monk, 11 of 15, 6 of 7 from behind a three-point line. 29,
did he go off or what?
29 points.
Well, what a lot of the coaches are coming to see Malik, and he is a freak. I'm going to send you guys just a clip of his dunk tomorrow. I was hoping to get a full highlight. We filmed all the games. And by the way, Trey, you like that new box score we're doing?
Yeah, it looks good.
We're doing those on the bench during the game with the new app we have. So immediately after the game, if the media want to know, we'll get you a link and you can follow live just like it was ESPN3. You'll be able to follow from our bench live when we get to some important play. Now, in 2 weeks, this team will play in the Nike qualification round in Dallas to qualify for the Sweet 16 Peach Jam for the 16-year-olds. And that's where every head coach in America will be.
And Coach, go ahead. What I'm going to ask you, Coach, is about Malik Monk. And we know that he's a phenomenal athlete. But real quick, tell me what – and I probably – he's a younger player, so I probably know some of his weaknesses. But tell me what a couple things that he does better than anybody and then a couple things he really needs to work on as he gets older.
Well, and I've said this before, he's an SEC athlete, no question about it. As a ninth grader that hadn't been in the weight room very much, and the thing that he does phenomenally for a guy in the ninth grade is shoot the basketball. If you look at his shooting percentage for the whole tournament, the game that Trey was talking about, 29 points, he took 15 shots, he had 5 offensive rebounds. He does a lot of that well. He doesn't want to defend hard enough, and he still doesn't play hard enough all the time on the defensive end. I'd say his IQ of the game is a natural gifting, and he's still not a true student of the game. So he needs to become a better student of the game and value both ends of the floor equally.
And that'll come with maturity, what you're saying, yeah.
Well, that comes with maturity, and also a chance to play, in Class 2A ball, there aren't many
the competition.
Come through.
Yeah, I mean, he can do whatever he wants out
needs
there.
Needs to play against better competition. Coach, we got a couple of calls. Let's go to Steve in Mayflower. Steve, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
All right, thank you. Coach, I wanted to see if you knew about or if you could tell me about the player from Louisiana, Darrell Martin, I believe his name is.
Say his name again.
I believe it's Darrell Martin.
Darrell Martin, I'm not familiar with him. I do know Von Maker was there and he moved, his 7-foot kid that is a freshman. Yeah. But I don't know Darrell Martin. Where's he? Is it somebody Arkansas is supposed to be recruiting or a young kid?
No. He actually recruited. He committed to LSU. I just didn't know if you knew about him or if you could tell me anything about him.
No, I don't. I do not know. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. Let's go to George in the Rock. George, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Thank you, fellas, for having my call.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy your show, and you're very informative on what you guys know.
Thank you.
I've got a question. There's a couple of kids from Conway, pitchers that is, and there's one boy that's got 2 no-hitters this year, and he's 11th grader, and he's 6'3", 230. Do y'all know about any really good pitchers coming up?
I don't know about him. I was going to try and look real quick.
Well, 6'2", 230, is he a lefty or a righty?
He's a righty, and he throws about 90.
I was about to say, that's a pretty big boy to be an 11th grader. Does he play any other sports, or is he really just into baseball?
His mama made him quit playing basketball so he could focus on baseball.
And Conway is 10-2 in the 7A, 6A Central Conference this year.
He was leading Fayetteville the other day when he got the start against Fayetteville. And you know all them boys, prospect ones.
Right.
But he had two no-hitters and one perfect game already.
Wow.
That means there's a little movement on that 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
A little cut.
And he's also got to have one that'll bend.
He does have the big bender, and he does have the pretty big heater. I just wondered if there was, he hadn't gotten any letters yet. Do they not send out letters till they take their ACT test or something like that?
No, I will tell you this, George. If he can play baseball, they will find him.
And the other thing, even in the 11th grade, baseball is a lot different. There are pro scouts who live in Arkansas, the Mets scouts from Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I can just tell you, when Corey Ragsdale was playing with us in 11th grade, the pros were there timing him and watching him in the 11th grade, and he was already being contacted by his dad, and they knew very well that he was a high draft choice. He went in the sandwich round between the first and second, and never made it to the bigs, but it wasn't because he couldn't field or run. They even tried to make him into a reliever. He's now coaching in the minor leagues. But Corey, and I know that firsthand experience, you don't get an agent, you get an advisor. And it's just, it's a wholly different world than what we're used to. I like it better. I wish they would have official guys recognized instead of these unofficial advisors that don't know as much about the games they think they do in basketball.
The boy's name is Dylan Crossley, and he is 6'3", 235, and he throws about 89, 90 miles an hour, and his pitching is just untenable.
Conway plays George at Little Rock Parkview tonight, and then they host Fort Smith Southside on Friday.
He's off rotation because of his last no-hitter, so I don't think he will pitch today.
Okay. Perfect. So maybe Friday then against Southside.
Yes, absolutely. I'm pretty sure of that.
George, thanks for that information, and I'll keep my eye out for if I see his name come across anything.
It was in the log cabin that showed that Crossley throws perfect game and then had another no hitter.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate that information, George.
Thanks, you guys.
Conway's got some athletes with Adrian Moore having 17 points. Playing up with a 17-year-old team last weekend. Malik playing up with a 16-year-old team. And by the way, guys, they're 10-0. They won the Great American Shootout, 17-year-old NBA, the best division last weekend. They beat the Texas Hawks 58-55 in the finals. I didn't send you that box score, Draven. I want you to look another name on there from Memphis, Marlon Hunter.
Yes, I saw that.
Well,
22 points.
Well, that was, but I want you to look at all the rest of the boxes.
Wow.
6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, blocks, and look at the turnover.
You know what we call that, Coach Crawford?
There was. Yeah, that's Joe Johnson, Jr.
We call that a stat sheet stuffer.
Well, he and Malik on the wings with Marquise Pointer and Jalen Franklin, the guards, and they both just all they care about is defending and getting the ball inside. Then we've got big Jamario Bell, the sophomore from down at Junction City, on that team. Devin Campbell from out at Mills. Our team shot 71% from the floor as a team.
Wow.
And 76% from the three-point line. Malik and Marlon in that game that I sent to the box were 9 of 10 from 3. It's hard to beat somebody when they do that.
Coach, we're getting close to the break.
All right.
I want to have you hold on.
I'll be glad to.
We've got more calls for you, and I also want to get your thoughts on Anton Beard transferring to North Little Rock.
We will talk about it.
We'll talk about it when we come back. He's the coach, Ron Crawford, Matt Jones, along with the freaky Joe Franklin. It's overtime. We also have birdies, pars, and bogeys still to come today. 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037. Or you can send us Keith Lee Service Company Live Fan Feedback. We'll get to it and take more of your calls when you come back to Overtime on the Buzz Radio Network right after this break. We have the coach Ron Crawford with us for this next segment. Let's go to Ron. Ron, welcome.
Yes, I want to ask Coach Crawford about Kayvon Allen of North Little Rock and Monk of East Poinsett County, what he likes about them, and maybe put him on the spot, which one he likes the best.
Well, it's easy. I like them both the best because they're in different years and they're both the best player in the particular class they're in. Kayvon, what I love about Kayvon the most is he is so smooth and he reminds me of Joe Johnson. He doesn't act like he ever gets excited or nervous, and got a great first step. He's extremely athletic. He shoots the ball well. He's got a nice body at 6'3". And he's definitely, if he grows a little more, it'll even be better. But even if he doesn't, this kid's definitely going to be a McDonald's All-American. He's at North Little Rock High School, and that they're going to have another great program next year with some of the transfers that have occurred. And Kayvon will be the ring leader of that group. He's special. What Monk gives you is, along with Kayvon, both these kids are extremely athletic. I would think that Malik is probably going to end up being 6'6 or 6'7. He doesn't seem to be as physically mature. He also shoots the ball extremely well. Either one of them can play the point because they pass. A lot of similarities in their game, other than I think that Malik probably shows a little more bounce, and he's not quite as Kayvon just got that natural instinct to move the ball and be in the right position. And I think that maybe that can be the difference in playing 7A basketball and then playing 2A. And no disrespect for 1A or 2A schools, they just don't have the numbers to have the talent of competition that you do in 6 and 7A.
And Coach, how tall was Marcus Monk, Malik's brother, at that same age? Because you're saying you think
about
Malik.
16. See, what people don't even realize and may not remember, they up in East Poinsett County, they do, their high school team went over until the district playoffs. They moved their entire junior high team up and came up and won the district. And Marcus Monk was one of those guys. He was about 6'4", maybe 6'6", 4.5".
Yeah.
Grew a little bit more. But his body build was already thicker than Malik. Malik is long and lean. Malik reminds me of the New York City athletes, you know, where they're not as stocky. Marcus was a big and strong kid, even in ninth grade. He played in the They were playing a state tournament up at Riverview, up in Searcy. And Marcus was so smooth, and that's what Malik, you don't realize how fast Malik is running. We time kids the 20-yard dash, Matt, because basketball, 40 yards is longer than the basketball court.
So right.
If I want to get from free throw line to free throw line, it's about 20 yards, about 60 feet. The floor is 84 feet. So you've got 30 feet from the free throw line. So if I want to measure your free throw line to free throw line, we don't do it in that exact number. So we do it at 60 feet or 20-yard dash. And we held a combine with 96 players, and Malik was the fastest one. I'm sorry, second fastest one. There was a kid over from Arkansas Baptist. This has been 2 years ago when he was in the seventh grade. But he is extremely quick. His body control is phenomenal, but so is Kayvon. They both can stop on a dime. They've got the hips you're looking for. They can go around people. They don't have to go through them. And they can adjust in the air, and both of them can really dunk the basketball. Malik's got some dunks that, everybody's watching this eighth grader. I don't know how old he is. Malik is a true eighth grader. He is eligible for the United States under-16 national team and has been invited back to the trials. He's also already has his invitation for the Nike 16 and under top 100, even though he's just a 15 and under kid. Knowing they're sophomores, they take a few ninth graders and then occasionally an eighth grader. But Malik's already been invited to the top 100 camp by Nike.
Coach Anton Beard committed to the Arkansas Razorbacks after being offered by Coach Mike Anderson, and TJ Cleveland was recruiting him hard. After his decommittal from Missouri, he leaves Little Rock Parkview and transfers to North Little Rock.
Well, it kind of caught me off guard. Anton seemed to be very happy. Him and IJ made a great backcourt, and he's got a backcourt. He's got two backcourt teammates. He did have two backcourt teammates coming back this year that were going to be great, Jalen Franklin and Braylon Walker. Matter of fact, Braylon had a tremendous weekend last weekend down in Dallas himself, playing on the Arkansas Magic's team. He just came out of his shell and went crazy. But I don't know if Anton's decision was based on style of play. I had heard that comment made. Or if he just wanted a chance to play with Kayvon. They're playing together on Team Penny from Memphis in the Nike EYBL circuit. Both of them are injured right now, but they did play together last weekend in Los Angeles.
Injured?
Yeah. Anton didn't play all the games this weekend in Boo Williams and Hampton. And then Kayvon's got a groin pull, and he set out last weekend down in Biloxi, Mississippi with the Arkansas Soldiers.
Okay.
But Anton was in Hampton this weekend with Team Penny from Memphis.
All right, let's go to Terry and Bryant. Terry, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Coach, I got a question for you, and Terry got a question for you and Matt. Coach, first of all, and I've been kind of in and out, it's been kind of sporadic to hear the news about the Hogs signings in the spring signing period. Did they actually ever sign the transfer, the kid from Searcy, Jamel Jones?
No, he committed to Texas A&M.
He went to Texas A&M. So have they signed anybody?
No, but they might get a commitment from Jerome Seegers tomorrow.
And we still don't know if he'll be an immediate eligibility or have to sit out, right?
We don't know, but you would think that they're going to let those guys that transferred away from Rutgers play next year.
And with Hunter transferring, that leaves them two more open spots. Is that correct?
I've got the list.
I believe that is, yeah, two more open spots.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure he's on somebody, but is it unusual for a program to not have that spring committal for graduating seniors as soon as the signing period opens? Is that somewhat unusual?
Well, you had to have known that both BJ and Marshawn would declare.
Right.
They did not make their intentions known completely. And then you would have had to know that Hunter Mickelson was going to transfer. And as of 2 weeks ago, Hunter Mickelson had not planned to transfer. I don't know. I honestly, truly, I know a lot of fans think that I know everything that goes on with him, but I don't know why the decision was made to transfer. I do know that Hunter, the last time I talked to him, he did not have any intention of going anywhere. He was a Razorback. But he changed his mind, and next thing I know, my phone blew up. I had to go get a new one. 62 colleges called me because they couldn't call the family until the release was issued on Monday morning, and then they could leave me alone and start calling Mr. Mickelson. But they stop. See, they keep you. You can't call them unless the student releases the okay from the call. So Hunter got to pick which schools of all those that wanted to recruit him. He got to pick which ones he wanted to recruit. So, but if you didn't know those three guys were leaving, you're looking at a full deck coming back. So it put the Arkansas coaching staff in a pretty big bind. Now, as far as needing anybody up front, they don't have any needs up front because you've got Alandis Harris, you've got Bobby Portis, and you've got Moses Kingsley coming back.
Yeah, point guard is obviously the position of need.
Point guard, well, Coach Anderson doesn't use the term point guard, but
sure. Us
fans, like Ron Crawford, would like to see a primary ball handler, because if you watched close enough last year, what I saw when Madden was on the floor, his teammates under pressure deferred to him a lot.
And he could be that guy. He just needs to.
Well, he's going to spend a lot of time this summer working hard. He's recommitted to get himself eat right, get in the weight room, and be able to take that role as the lead guard that they can depend on anytime they're being pressured or. If things get tough late, you really need somebody that can go create a shot on their own. Not just take it like BJ, where you know he can't shoot it, and all you got to do is keep him from getting to the rim. Arkansas needs a any position guard that I know can go create a shot one-on-one from 20 feet in.
Well,
that's the guy they're looking for.
The strength that Kyle Madden has, in my opinion, is that the mid-range game, because he can get to the rack and he can hit that free throw line jumper.
But he also was a great three-point shooter for us, and he just lost his confidence. His right elbow's flopping out, and he just got to get in the gym. And I'm not talking about getting the gym. I'm talking about getting the gym and work, keep score. We have a new electronic shooting analysis machine that, I think he's going to go over when he's not practicing, not required, when he doesn't have to be with the Arkansas. I think he's going to go over and work out with Marcus Monk, his cousin, who's in grad school at the University of Arkansas right now.
Terry, thank you.
I hear the music. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Coach, thank you as well.
Thank you.